Daniel's with us tonight into the book of Daniel. And again, we are sorry, Brother Jesse Craig wasn't able to be with us, but you know, God knows all things. And it was late in the day when we found out, too late to ask anybody else. The Bible says to be instant. I thought about calling Brother Joe, I thought about Brother Steve, and I thought about Brother Johnny. They're all going to be here and ask this one or ask that one, and God just didn't give me no peace about it, so you stuck with me. Amen. Folks from Porter's Grove will be no doubt greatly disappointed. And I don't say this because he's sitting here. I tell anybody, and Brother Joe can attest to that, I think y'all got the best preacher in this part of the country. Standing in your pulpit, you're blessed to have him. I appreciate Brother Steve. He's one of my favorite preachers. I love to hear him preach probably as much, if not more, than anybody else that I know that preaches. I love him to death. And I appreciate him. And y'all got to put up with me and find out what he got to put up with for 7 years. Amen. And when you go back, you'll really appreciate your pastor a whole lot more. And those of you that belong to other churches will leave tonight and say, thank God for our pastor. Amen. But tonight, I'm going to be standing before you for just a little while. We'd ask you to stand with us tonight as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word, give you a chance to stretch your legs just a little bit. We're going to begin reading in Daniel chapter 1, verse number 3. The Bible says, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, well favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and unto Mishael of Meshach, and unto Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Brother Joe, would you take us tonight to the throne of grace? The book of Daniel is a great book of the Bible that is a great guideline for our lives. I know Brother Steve cherishes the book of Daniel. I think I heard him say one time it's one of his favorite books, if not his favorite. In the Bible, he used to teach our young people from it quite a bit. And it's filled with a great depth and a great deal of knowledge and things that help us just as people, amen, to live a life that's pleasing unto him. It's a book, if you stop and look at Daniel's life and what's happening, they've been taken from where they were and they've been brought into a new place. It's a new beginning. It's a starting over in their life. They're going to be re-educated. They're going to be re-indoctrinated. They're going to be removed from what they knew and brought to this place to where they might be used in this place in some way, in a special way. We can see in the Bible all kinds of new beginnings. I'm thankful that we have a God that is full of new beginnings for those who need new beginnings. Amen. Adam and Eve have found a new beginning in the Bible back in Genesis when they had fallen from grace. A perfect man and a perfect woman in a perfect place. But the one who had perfected sin was there as well. And he caused man to fall. And man fell from that grace and that position that he had in Christ, that he had been provided by God. But yet God slew an animal, shed the blood, and covered their sin, and promised them a new beginning. David, a man after God's own heart, fell because of sin. Amen. And in Psalm 51, as you hear his prayer, and as you hear David cry out unto God, he cried because he realized and he knew that God was a God of new beginnings. I'm glad tonight for new beginnings. Peter, who had swore and bragged about the fact that he would follow Christ even unto death, denied his Lord and went away, and he wept bitterly, so ashamed for what he had done. But Jesus met him by the Sea of Galilee and said, Peter, there's a new beginning if you'll feed my sheep. Paul, wrapped up in religion, wrapped up in traditions, found a new beginning on the road to Damascus, and God used him in a mighty way. I'm glad that one night in a little Baptist church alongside of Route 40 in Elkton, praise God, that I found a new beginning in my life. And as we get ready to start another year, we think about new beginnings, and we think about the things that new beginnings bring. And when we prepare to start over and we prepare to go into a new year, we want to try to get rid of some of the bad things and start over and do things right. And we make resolutions. The Bible said in verse number 8, and Daniel purposed. He resolved within himself. He determined within himself what he was going to do. You know, so many times we falter and we fail along the way because we set out to do something, but we don't have the resolve to stick to it. Amen? We got a Bible reading schedule on the back table. If you've never read all the way to God's Word, pick you up a Bible reading schedule on the way out and resolve this year to do it. Amen. There's nothing greater that you can do in your life than get yourself in the Word of God. But sadly, many will start out tomorrow morning reading, but by the end of the month, they've done given up. Their resolve has done gone. Daniel purposed in his heart. He resolved, he determined that he was not going to defile himself. Friends, let me tell you something. There's some things that can happen when we resolve and when we purpose and when we determine within ourselves that we're going to do what's going to honor the Lord. If you look in your Bibles and look in verse number 15, and if you read the rest of the story, the rest of the account here, Daniel said, let us only eat pulse, let us have vegetables and water, and let us not take of what the king has provided. The king's provision, a picture of all that the world wants to give us and all that the world wants us to have. the pulse and the water, a picture of standing pure and standing true to what God says we need and what God provides for us. And in verse number 15, it says, "And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat." You see, if we will resolve and purpose in our hearts and in our lives to do what's right in the sight of God and to live for Him, we'll take on a godly countenance. I don't know, some of y'all have been down to Faith Baptist Church, and I've shared this story before. And I'm going to try to get Brother Enrique down here for our February youth revival. But he walked into the auditorium down there, and there's probably 500 people there that night. They could seat 750, and they didn't have it all the way filled up. But there was a big crowd. And Brother Enrique walked in, and he walked by, and he just stopped and our eyes just caught one another. He stopped by and shook my hand. I said, "I don't know why, but God told me that you're a man of God that I ought to know." He said, "I'm really nothing." He said, "I'm just another child of God, brother." And he walked on. Well, after a bit, they had him stand up and preach a lick. Amen. He's a street preacher. He don't pastor a church. He's a street preacher. And he preaches on the streets of New York. And brother, he can flat lay it down. But just seeing him, his countenance, the joy, you could just see Jesus all over him. Amen. That's what God does to those who will determine and purpose within their hearts that they're going to stand for him. In verse number 17, it says, "As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." I tell you what, if you purpose in your heart that you want to live for God, that you want to honor God, that you want to uplift God in your life, He'll give you abilities to do things that let others know that you're one of His children. You see these young people that stand and play music. They're not professionals. Most of them, I don't think, ever had lessons. They just picked it up and started plucking and learning, and God has given them their ability. God has brought them on. Hey, man, I've heard preachers preach that you would never have imagined what God can do in their life. I went to school with a young lady, and she found out that I was pastoring a church, and she told the individual that told her, she says, "You mean that Dennis Gilbert?" She says, "Yeah." She says, "I can't believe it." She said, "It's true." Hey, man, it's true. I'm not much, but I preach about one who is. Amen. Praise God, and I do it because of the ability and the calling that He has given me in my life. Man, you want somebody that can get a hold of God, you get a hold of somebody that walks after God and obeys God. They have an ability to get a hold of the glory world better than anyone else. Amen. God gives them abilities. And then in verse 19, it says, "And the king communed with them, and among all that was found was none like unto Daniel and Hanani and Mishael and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king." Amen. Let me tell you what else God does. He gives you favor. Amen. He gives you favor. Paul found favor with the centurions that were assigned to guard him. Joseph found favor in Potiphar's house when he was in charge and he was the administrator of the house of this great man of Egypt. Joseph found favor in the eyes of the jailer when he was cast into prison and was set there unjustly so. But he found favor and God blessed him in what he did. And we find that men who have trusted God and women who have trusted God throughout God's word have found favor with man because they chose to stand for God. It's good to make resolutions if we're going to stick by them, if we're going to stand by them. In Ecclesiastes, the Bible tells us it's better not to make a vow. When you make a resolution and you resolve to do something, you're making a vow that you're going to accomplish this, that you're going to see this thing through, and that you're going to follow through with it. And the Bible teaches us clearly it's better never to make a vow than to make that vow and not fulfill it. When a man made the vow of a Nazarite, he was expected to follow through with it. And if something interfered with him in the midst of that vow and in the midst of that resolution, he had to go back and start all over again until he could fulfill the vow that he had made. Friends, we need to make some resolutions tonight as the church of the living God. I'm a veteran, and this house tonight has veterans all over. This house tonight has some that are still serving. I'm proud to be a veteran. I'm proud of the service that I've served my nation with. I don't know how to describe it. Those who have never served and those who have never taking that role, you probably don't understand the pride that veterans have. And maybe you think we're a little stuck up. Maybe you think we're a little bit too wrapped up in ourselves. I don't know. But I'm proud to stand before you and say that I was willing to sign a contract with my nation to say that I was willing to give my life. Amen. And for 6 years, I was under contract. Brother Steve's been under contract for over 20. Sister Sherry fulfilled her 20-year contract. Brother Jim, sitting back there, I know, fulfilled his 20-year contract. Others have fulfilled your contract, and the thing that you agreed to do, you have followed through on. And I would gladly take up arms again today. An old man that's out of shape and wore out, and do whatever I could to defend my nation. And I'm not ashamed to stand before you and tell you that I would do so. I took an oath to defend my nation from the enemies without and from enemies within. And I will defend my nation. But I've been enlisted into another army. Amen. Amen. I've been enlisted into another cause. It took resolve. It took determination. When I was in during Vietnam. Amen. And when you went to boot camp in Vietnam, everybody was trying to get out. Everybody had a scheme trying to get out. Everybody tried to play crazy. Everybody tried to play a sick that didn't want to be there. They had more excuses and more schemes going on trying to get out, but they didn't let you out that easy because they needed bodies. They were looking for more. Now I hear these fellows can go in there and whine that they just can't take it, and they let them out. They can't keep their weight down, so they let them out. Man, if you had a weight problem, back in the day, they would work on your weight problem on the inside. Amen? At Great Lakes Naval Training Center, they had a place called Pork Chop Hill. And if you had a weight problem, you spent lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of time at Pork Chop. I didn't have that problem. I had the opposite problem. But folks signed an agreement. And it took resolve to stay there. It took resolve to fulfill your obligation. It took resolve to get through all that. Whether you want to combat and whether you was stationed far away from where harm was, but you was away from your family, whatever the case may be, it took resolve to be there. I had one fella that I went to school with. He went AWOL and missed so many ships movements. They figured it out. They wasn't going to throw him out. They sent him to a place called Diego Garcia, a little tiny island out in the middle of the Indian Ocean. There's only one way to get there, and there's only one way to leave there. And if you don't have the resolve to see yourself through your obligation, they will help you along, for they will send you to Diego Garcia, and there's no way you're leaving there. You can't swim that far. You can't tread water that far. And you can't get on and off of the only airplane that flies in and out of Diego Garcia until you pass all kinds of stringent security tests. Guess what? He fulfilled his obligation. It took him about 10 years to fulfill a 6-year obligation, but he did it. We have enlisted into an army that needs people with resolve. People who aren't afraid to stand up and say that I am willing to do this. I'm willing to do this for the cause of Christ. I'm willing to do this because it's needful. Friends, if the world needs anything today, if America needs anything today, it needs Christian soldiers who are resolved to go forward into the battle in a new year and stand and give God the glory, to stand firm and stand unmovable, irregardless of what happens and irregardless of what comes their way. I want to preach to you on the things that we need to do, that we need to resolve to do. Our families need it. Our church needs it. Our nation needs it. We need Christian soldiers. If you are born again, Bible believing, blood bought, blood washed, blood redeemed, blood enlisted soldier of the cross. Listen to me tonight. We've got too many that have defected. We got too many that have gone AWOL. Too many that can't get their mission fulfilled, as it were, because they're giving up and they're giving in and they're surrendering. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Are you willing to start out a new year and purpose in your heart to be a true soldier of the cross? Let's look at some things that Daniel shows us about being a soldier of the Lord. First, we need to stand up and stand out. Amen. Daniel and his comrades were taken from their birthplace and brought to Babylon, and they were set up to be people that would be used the king for his glory and for his honor, and they began to indoctrinate them, they began to teach them, they began to try to change them and make Chaldeans out of them that they could use them in a great way. But Daniel said, hold on, there's a line here that I'm not willing to cross. There's some things here that I'm not willing to compromise on. I know that I'm in this world, but praise God, I'm not of this world. And there are some things that we need to stand the line on. We need to stand the mark on, and we need not compromise on. Amen. I tell you what, when you stand on this precious old book, amen, and when folks try to defile and try to do away, and try to belittle it. Man, if we would stand for the Word of God like the Muslims stand for the Quran. Man, they're willing to kill you over the Quran. But Christians could care less if people throw Bibles on the floor. I seen a preacher one time, I just throw a Bible around and I just acted like some kind of, man, that just killed me. That's the precious Word of God. I know it's just a book, but praise God, it's a precious book. It's a blessed book, and we need to stand on the book. Amen. We need to stand. We need to stand on the principles of this book. We stand on the principles of this book, we start to stand out. Amen. You know, you got to have something to stand on. You join the military, they give you the military code of justice, and they give you the military rules and guidelines for this and that and everything else, and they want you to stand on these things and abide by these things. God has called us. God has saved us by His precious sacrifice of His Son, by the precious blood that was shed, and He's given us a precious word to live by and to go on. We need to get indoctrinated in God's Word. And the only way we can do that is to get in the book. Man, I'll tell you what, if people on Facebook would spend as much time in the book, amen, as they do on Facebook, amen, it would have a great impact in our families. It would have a great impact in our churches. Amen. It would have a great impact in our nation. Amen. We're getting so wrapped up in social this and social that. We forget about the blood that saved us. We forget about the Savior that wooed us and called us. The one that knocked on our heart's doors and birthed us into the family of God. We forgot about how they used to worship. I thought today as I was thinking on this, Brother Joe, oh Isaac, he went around and he cleaned out the wells, praise God, that his father had dug. Man, we need to get back into some of them old wells and to sip from some of the water that our ancestors, our forefathers have fought and struggled and went through great trials and troubles, that we could have them for us today. And the world has stopped them up. We need to clean them out. But praise God, we need to be ready to dig some new ones of our own. Amen. Our families need to see that we are willing to dig the same wells that our fathers had dug. That we was willing to take the same stands that our forefathers have taken. How we was willing to stand the line as our forefathers stood the line. We was willing not to compromise just like our forefathers didn't compromise. And we was willing to stand when nobody else would stand. We was willing to stand out and be a peculiar people. Amen. That's what America needs. It needs young Christian men and women that don't look like trash. Amen. Don't act like trash. Don't talk a bunch of trash. Amen. But they stand out and they stand apart. Amen. Because they look different. They act different. They talk different. They have a different countenance about them. What is it? It's Jesus. Amen. It's Jesus on the inside, popping out the outside. Praise God. Daniel said, he purposed in his heart. He said, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to cross this line. I might live on pulsing water. Amen. But I'd rather live on pulsing water than eat the best that the king has. I'd rather live on what Jesus has than all the world has to offer. The Bible said Moses refused the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, there's a little bit of pleasure in sin. Amen. But it'll never bring peace. Amen. There's a little bit of pleasure there. But it'll never accomplish the purpose that God wants to work in your heart and in your life. There's a little bit of pleasure there, but it'll never give you the personality. You'll never stand out as a peculiar person, amen, when you're doing the same thing that everybody else does. Amen. That's why we're peculiar. That's why we're different. Amen. That's why we need to stand up and stand out. Daniel did. His buddies did. Amen. They were willing to make a stand, not because of who they were, but because of who they serve. Amen. In 2016, we need to resolve and we need to purpose in our heart that we're going to stand up for Jesus and stand out for Jesus. And when the world sees me, wherever I'm at, I'm going to be different than what the world is. If you don't believe it, you need to get back in the book. If you don't believe it, you're not willing to do it, then don't come. You know, I'm sure Brother Steve, I'm sure Brother Brian can tell you, Brother Joe can tell you, a million times I have preached messages and people have come back to me, oh, Pastor, I done this and I done that. My life is a mess. This is falling apart. I don't know what to do. Get back in the book. Amen. We preach to you. We give you fair warning of what's going to happen. And when it happens, stick your hand through the hedge. The Bible says the serpent will bite. And we can tell you that in every kind of way that we can think of telling you. And yet you do it. Don't fall for the traps of the world. Stand up, stand out for Jesus. We need to be the witnesses.
That's right.
Amen. When I was in the Navy, I wore the uniform of the United States government. Amen. I wore a sailor's uniform. A Marine, any Marines here? Amen. Marine wore a Marine's uniform. Sister Paula wore a Coast Guard uniform. Brother Steve wears an Army uniform. Brother Jim wore an Army uniform. Anybody here in the Air Force? They wore an Air Force. But you know what they all had in common? They all said the United States. Amen. My uniform had an American flag. I identified just being where I was at any given time. Gave witness to who I was and to who I belonged to. Amen. I belonged to Uncle Sam. You know, once you sign that paper, you're no longer your own. You become government property. That's what GI means. Government issue. Amen. GI. That's just what you are. You're the government's property. And the government wants to have their stamp all over you. And wherever you go, and whatever you do, everybody sees you. There's an American. Amen. There's an American. How do we know he's an American? We can see he's an American because he's got the mark all over him. I tell you what, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and no matter where they went, they witnessed and they testified Jesus. They were peculiar enough. They were strange enough. They were crazy enough. When everybody else said that's going to get you killed, to say, no, there's a God that we answer to. No, there's a God that's more important. Daniel, he had the privilege of telling Nebuchadnezzar, let me tell you something, there's a God in heaven. Amen. Look over in chapter number 2. I love that. There is a God in heaven. And praise God, he told Belshazzar, there is a God in heaven. He told Darius, yes, a king, my God, the God in heaven, the living God is Abel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I said, our God, who the God that is in heaven, the man is Abel. They never took credit. They never bragged on them. You know what the problem has become in our church? We brag on our churches too much. I tell the folks around here all the time, hey man, I ask them, I challenge them, do you tell people as much about Jesus as you tell them about Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church? Do you? I hear people, oh man, yeah, you ought to come to our church. Well, why don't you spend that time telling them about Jesus? Hey man, I'm not wrapped up in Charlestown Missionary. I'm the pastor here. But I'll send people to Brother Steve's church in a heartbeat. If they live that way and I think they're more apt to go to that church, I'll even send them up to his father-in-law's church. Amen. I've recommended people, go to Nottingham. It's close to you. You know, I understand. It's not about our church. It's not even about the pastor. It's about Jesus. Amen. It's not about me. I don't do things because of who I am. I do things because Jesus puts a desire in me to do the things that I do. Amen. And I want the world to see Jesus when they see me. Amen. You know, it's kind of embarrassing, you know, sometimes. And, you know, people, oh, pastor, you this, or pastor, you that. Yeah, give God the glory. Amen. Give God, let's just start putting God where he needs to be, in the throne of our heart. And if he's in the throne of our heart, he'll be in the forefront of our lives. Amen. When the people see you, they need to be like it was when I seen Brother Enrique Rodriguez. Man, there is a man of God that I need to know. And God, I'm telling you, God just put that right in my heart. There's a man of God right there. I had never seen that fellow before in my life. And man, what a blessing he's been. But you know why? He didn't go around promoting and say, hey man, I'm the baddest street preaching preacher that you ever seen anywhere. Hey man, he uplifted Jesus. And when you seen him, he just personified Christ. Let's get off of this. I don't know. It's a power trip. What do you call it? We've become so narcissistic. Now, you folks on Facebook, please forgive me. But I have seen enough of your pictures. Hey, man. This is me happy. This is me sad. This is me in the kitchen. This is me in the living room. Hey, this is me on the couch. This is me on the recliner. Amen. Amen.